I'm going to turn to the scriptures, and I'm reading from, I'll open the book, I'm reading from 1 Kings 18, 1 to 8. 1 to 8. And it came to pass after, am I all right with this? Pardon? Are you twiddling, are you? No, you're all right, okay. Usually when I preach without these, I get instant healings. People take their deaf aids out. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah. It was in the third year, saying, Go, show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. And Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. For it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord that Obadiah took 100 prophets. He hid them in by 50 in a cave, and he fed them with bread and water. And Ahab said unto Obadiah, Go into the land unto all fountains of water and unto all brooks. Peradventure we might find some grass to save our horses and our mules alive, that we might not lose all our beasts. So they divided the land between them to pass through out of it. Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. And as Obadiah was in the way, behold, Elijah met him, and he knew him, and fell on his face and said, Art thou my Lord Elijah? And he answered him, I am. Go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here. I'm going to lead a verse of scripture, not from that, but from Proverbs. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. Let me explain. I'm sure many years ago, and I'm just using this as an illustration, you would phone someone or an office on the phone, you'd get the right number, and then on the phone would come, We cannot handle your call at the moment, and we're putting you on hold. And then suddenly Vivaldi's Four Seasons come on. And you work your way through spring. You're very patient. And then when it comes into summer, you start to, you know. And then when it's starting to come into autumn, I know what I'm going to do. I'll phone later. Or some of us might say, Hello, is anybody there? We're on hold. And that's the message tonight, being on hold. And Elijah was on hold. What was he to do next? And there comes experiences in our lives and we are on hold. And we just wonder what to do. We're in certain situations have developed. Or we've got to make important decisions. And we're not too certain what to do. There seems to be no voices coming from anywhere. And it does seem at times that God has just put us on hold. Lord, what shall I do? And it's not an easy experience to go through. When you've known the voice of God, you've known direction, you've known what to do, you've known what to step out in or what not to step out in. But now you find yourself on hold. And Elijah was on hold. You'll see in a moment to where I'm going. Because it says, after many days, that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year. 3 years, God never spoke to him. After he'd had some wonderful experiences, he'd been sent to the king. We know what was happening in Israel at that time. And if you read the book of Kings, some of the things that those kings were doing was unbelievable. Violence, violating the kingdom of God at that day, correcting idols to worship, and all kinds of things were happening, and there was disasters, and there was murders, and it was a horrendous time when they turned their backs upon God. And so he had been sent to the king. There's going to be no rain for 3.5 years. No dew according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Hide yourself, Elijah, hide yourself. Go down to the brook of Cherith. And the Bible says the birds came. I'm not too certain what they fed him on. They didn't go down to McDonald's, I'm surely, and bring him a burger every day, but it says they had meals every day provided by the birds. He had a brook to drink from. We don't know all the details, but God had sent him there. He heard his voice. There was no mistake about it. But then the Bible says the brook dried up. What does he do now? What does he do now? Then the word of the Lord came to him. Arise, get to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon. And behold, there I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Sometimes, you know, when we're looking for things to happen, and we're looking for a door to open, and we feel as though somehow we've been neglected or God has stopped speaking to us, we could never have thought that a widow woman who was about to gather some meal, have one meal and then die with her son, was going to help him. We'd certainly pick somewhere different to that, wouldn't we, I'm sure. But he went. A miracle took place in the life of this woman. She says when he found her that she was gathering, and she said, I'm just going to go back home. And he says, give me a meal. And the barrel of meal did not waste after she had fed him first. And he lived there for nearly 3.5 years. A little boy that she had took sick. And when she brought the son to him, she thought that it was God's judgment on her somehow. Are you really a man of God? Have you really come to bless me? Are you really someone of a prophet? She was challenging God in this man. And the son gets sick. And then Elijah takes him into his upper apartment where he was staying and prays for him. And he's restored. I wonder how he must have felt, Elijah, when God stopped talking to him for 3 years. I know how I would feel. Lord, I don't like being on hold. I want to know what to do next. I don't like just treading water, like you say, in a swimming pool and getting nowhere. I don't like this attitude of mine that I'm going through. I want to know, I want to know, I want to know. And then the Bible says after many days, there's going to come rain. Now, it's a dangerous thing to do when you're on hold making decisions. I've met so many people in my travels and in my ministry, they've said, I made the biggest mistake of my life, Brian. I was on hold and I made a decision without the direction and leading of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. And I've regretted it nearly every day since. It's so easy, and I'm not throwing stones at anyone. Any one of us could enter into doing something when we're on hold. It's a bit like me just putting the phone down and saying, oh, I'll phone some other time. Or is anybody there? And sometimes we get that way in life. And I know it has been in my case occasionally when we've been on hold. And then Samuel the prophet put Saul on 7 days hold. Remember the story? Now, Samuel was definitely chosen to anoint Saul to be king. There's no doubt about that. He heard the voice of God, and when Saul came down the mountainside looking for his father's donkey that had got lost, and then the Lord says, this is him, anoint him. And the Bible says the anointing of the Holy Spirit came upon Saul and he prophesied. He was entering into a new ministry as king of Israel. But he failed miserably because Samuel said to him, 7 days you shall tarry till I come to thee and show you what to do. Our hearts could go out to Saul in some respects when you read the story, because he got afraid, he got a little panicky, and he couldn't wait even to the last hour. And he committed the sin of offering a sacrifice when it was not in his dominion to do. He was on hold, but he broke the hold. And unfortunately for Samuel, he had to say that God has rejected you from being king. There needs to be sometimes in our lives a guidance. I read this some recently again. On occasion, he was speaking of himself, a person. I've had to wait a few hours at a big airport in Chicago. I wondered how these pilots, taxiing to the end of the runway, dared to roar into the sky. The truth, of course, is none of them dare do it. They're on hold. There's a control tower and someone is in it. It is only when the pilot is told he can take off that he does. So it is with us, free of worry, we can take off in life, even at any age, because there is someone in the tower, our Lord in heaven. He tells us to lift our wings, free from fear and soar. The only way you can do this is to trust ourselves wholly to him and what he says. He whispers to us, fear not, he says, don't worry. And so to the old in Christ, dare to live. Sometimes we feel on hold, like the pilot waiting to get information to take off. If every pilot took off when he felt he just ought to do, you can imagine the disasters that would take place. He would not fit into the schedule. We're only human beings, and God knows that. And we can do some silly things when we're on hold. Our hearts, our emotions get sick. We can make wrong decisions, I've already said. Maybe there are some tonight in our service that you feel is on hold at this moment. And you're wondering just what the next step is. What should I do, Lord? And it all seems so very quiet. Sometimes we're tested in that. We're very confident of our Savior. We're very confident that the Lord can lead us and guide us and direct us in our lives. We've had past experiences when things miraculously have happened. And voices have come. Not perhaps physically in the sense of hearing a voice, but it's coming directly. I've had that happen many times. A phone call that's told you something that you was waiting for. I remember once I was feeling a little bit down. Do you ever get down? Yeah. Am I in that good company? Things are not going too well, or you just feel a little out for one day, and I tend to make a lot of phone calls. It's my ministry. I'm not into this dib-dab, boom, and wonder what they've said. I like to hear voices on the other end. It's just me. I'm not condemning you. Just me. And I make a lot, I call it my telephone ministry. If I use it, I pay a certain amount. If I don't use it, I pay the same amount. Boy, people get phoned all around the world, I tell you. And sometimes I phone them just on the right moment, at the right time. And they say, oh, Brother Day, I was just thinking of, oh, thank you. I call it my telephone ministry. And I just do it. And then sometimes, on this time, I was sitting down thinking, nobody phones me. Oh, you know. I said to my wife, and I picked the phone up, side of it, just on the side, and I says, no, nobody wants to talk to me. I was just joking. And suddenly it rang. Hello? Hello, Brother Day. This is Poppy from the island of Rhodes. I was just thinking about you and wanted to ask you how you're doing. I would have never even put her on the list. She was my, and has been over the years, my interpreter, because her husband don't speak English. They're Greek speaking. And she was my interpreter. Never phoned me before. And it was the split second I said, nobody phones me. I would never, ever have asked or in my mind think that it would be Poppy that would be phoning me. I tell you, the Lord knows when we need something, doesn't he? And she was a real blessing. We talked and I explained how the church was going in Rhodes, because we helped to pioneer that work about 20 years ago, etc., etc. So these are only small things, but there are larger things sometimes when we need a voice or a word from the Lord to encourage us, just to know that he's in control of our lives. And Elijah must have felt during that 3 years, what do I do next? I've got to live with this widow woman. And she's getting older, and the little boy's running around driving me crazy. And, you know, what do I do next? When he'd already had these sequence of events take place, that he knew it was the word of the Lord. But he wanted to wait, and we can do some silly things. Hang on. Don't drop the phone down. Jesus put his disciples on hold, not for a long period. Then cometh Jesus with them to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to the disciples, sit here while I go and pray yonder. Just sit here and wait for me. And they all fell asleep. They all fell asleep. We wouldn't think that we would do that. This is Christ, the Son of God. This is the creator of the universe. This is Emmanuel. And he says to them, wait for me. Just a little while. Because when he came back to them, the disciples were fast asleep. Couldn't you just wait 1 hour? Says the scriptures. 1 hour! And I would have been back. Do you know, my wife can drop off in 3 seconds. She's going, yeah. I just can't do it. She'll sit down and sit in. Gone. gone. It's not so good when you're in hotel rooms, that isn't it, at night. And I've got an answer to that. I go, and it wakes her up. But there they are, snoring, fast asleep. I don't know about snoring, but they're fast asleep. They should have been on hold, waiting and watching. They could not just watch for 1 hour. And then that lovely verse of Scripture, and it's a little bit mysterious, this verse, cast your bread upon the water. And after many days, give a portion to 7 and also to 8, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. Now, I'm pretty certain this doesn't mean you get 3 bread cobs and you go down to the Trent and throw them in. I can't see that coming back, no matter how many. In fact, actually, the quicker it's, the ducks are there, boom, 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 they're gone. And they are, when I throw some in down where I live near the Trent, they've gone. So what's it talking about? Now, there's about 3 or 4 different interpretations to bring this out, but it's all turning to the same thing. The word in Hebrew for bread also means corn. Seed. It has a dual message, a dual meaning, corn seed. And it has been said in some interpretations of it, in Egypt, the waters would flood the land at times when the rivers overflow. And when the waters were going down, they would throw seed onto the water and let it go down with it into the ground. And then it was on hold as far as they was concerned. And many, many months later, they would go back and reap the harvest of what they had sown. Then other interpretations is, cast thy bread upon the waters means that you're sending something overseas. Bread speaks to us of the word of God and of giving and of missionary work and all those kind of things that the church does and sends it overseas. And it doesn't not, we know, we do not get the answer sometimes to sometime later. But then we get it, and we are encouraged. Send the grain by boat, someone has said. And of course, it all means the same thing. Cast your bread upon the water, and it will return the investment in days to come. And I'm sure all of us have experienced that in some way or another. We've given, we've cast our bread, what we have, to others who are in need. And then we've seen the results. Sometimes later, we've been on hold before we get the answer. There will come a time when he will put you on hold. I have a verse of Scripture. Wait upon the Lord. Be of courage. He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. But those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with the wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Our verse of Scripture was, hope deferred makes the heart sick. And we've already explained that. You often say when someone is asking us a question, I hope so. It means you're waiting, I just hope so. I hope I haven't got to wait too long because I'm just wanting it, I'm just waiting for it. But when it's deferred longer than we expect it, the Scripture says it can make us feel sick. But when it cometh, it is a tree of life to us. So I trust this message is to some of your hearts. You may be on hold. Maybe I'm on hold, I'm not too certain. But when it is fulfilled, it's a tree of life to us. And we can give testimony to it. Even later, oh, I didn't know the Lord was interested in me. I didn't know he was going to meet my need in that way. I didn't know that the hope that was in my heart was going to be fulfilled. Hope in God, and you will receive the treasures of heaven itself. Shall we pray? Father, we come to you. As we sang that little song, come to the garden alone. And we pray, Lord, we know our lives. You know we want to be directed. You know we want to serve you in a fulfillment. We know the calling upon each one of our lives, whether we're in the ministry or not in the ministry. Where we're just, as we say, traveling through as one who love you, who have been born again by the Holy Spirit. We're in the kingdom of God. And we do confess, Lord, we can get a little discouraged. And our hope does not seem to materialize. And I pray tonight, Lord, if should there be those in this service where the hope seems to not materializing, that you will bring it very swiftly to us, to encourage us, and we'll give testimony to it. From this night, we saw things happening where it seemed impossible. Bless us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.